Welcome back to the Sights On Podcast. This is Luciano and Alex for episode number 17. Today we're going to be talking about relationships and dating. This is going to be such an exciting topic. We're glad that you tuned in. Let's get into it.
Yeah, and before we get actually into like the hardest part, I just want to say that it's easy for us to generalize, you know, people, and especially like in the dating scene. We know everyone's views on dating and relationships and even marriage are like different through different religions, different point of views, and we know our views as two followers of Christ are going to be different than most. So we know that not everyone will agree with us, but we just hope that we can find some sort of common ground and just have a good discussion today on relationships and dating.
Yeah, totally agree. We may have different perspectives, but in the end, we just want to discuss with y'all about this very important topic. Let's open it up. How is dating and relationships reviewed today, Alex?
I think relationships and dating is the same as it's been, you know, the same. Like, it's, you go on dates for dates, and relationships are a commitment without the legal behind it, you know, the legal terms. But in our culture today, it's changed from, like, we don't even do the dates anymore. It's just straight to hookups. Like, in a sense, from, like, our point of view, when I see, like, you know, Tinder and stuff like that, what are people doing? They're going out, they're hooking up for casual sex, and then they go on to the next person over and over and over again. And that's how I kind of see, like, hookup culture. It's not even dating, it's hookup culture now, where people just go out for casual. They go out into the nightclubs and the streets, and they just hook up. They do quick hookups, or they do the online dating. Mm-hmm. And online dating, I'm not saying, I might have misspoke right there. It's not a bad thing. Stuff like Tinder, where you're just going out for quick casual hookups, is what I am more concerned about.
Yeah, so it's like a quick culture of dating. I mean, it's like your sample pick. I mean, that's what we've been seeing over the past couple of years, when we have this uptick and increase in social media and Tinder, as Alex said. I mean, I've seen that a lot of people like doing it because it's you get to pick and choose who you want. And I it's unfortunate because the amount of people doing it, I mean, it's not going to be long term in any sense, because you're just doing it for the quick sex, and it's not a long term relationship. And I think that's very sad, but it's a ongoing problem. So why is it such a problem in dating? Like, why is it a problem that people are going into these quick relationships, not going for that long-term one?
I think it because it makes the long-term more difficult for everybody else, right? The more people you sleep around with, especially as two followers of Christ, you could say, it makes it harder for us to go find the women that we're looking for. Now, I'm thankfully taken, but let's say I was not single and I'm looking for somebody, the person who's been sleeping around and let's say, quote unquote, exploring who they are in the world, I'm not going to be like attracted to them, because I want someone who is specifically for me, you know, who's not slept around, you know, kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And that makes it significantly harder when you're going out week after week, or even day after day doing that.
And I'd say it even takes the beauty out of relationships. I mean, if you go out and just look for that quick sex, I mean, you're not getting to know the person for who they are. And it's taken away that beauty of a relationship. Hey, you get to know this person over a couple of years, a couple of months, and you get to see who they really are before you actually say, you tie the knot and say, hey, this is the person I want to spend my whole life with. And that's going away when you take that quick relationship aspect to it. So I just want to point out that it's not going to be a short-term goal. I mean, it's going to be for the long term. You have to think long term in the relationships, as we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I kind of wrote a quick little statement. I said, if I were single looking for a partner, I wouldn't want someone who's been with half the city. I believe that most people feel the same way. Many of us want a partner who values stability, connection, not someone who has different flings every night. When people finally mature and decide they're ready to settle down, they find it often challenging to find a good partner. Maybe that's because they were too busy hooking up instead of investing in and building a real relationship with people who genuinely care about them. Mm-hmm. I think that's true. I mean, I've seen a couple TikToks online where there's about these women in their 30s and they were out partying. And I'm not saying just women, but anybody like who's out partying and, you know, having casual sex all the way up until their 30s. And then they finally realize, like, that light bulb goes up in their head and they're like, man, I want to settle down. I'm ready to settle down. And then they're like, they've been dating those kinds of people or hooking up with the wrong kind of people. And then when they get to that 30-year-old, they find it very hard to find an actual really good partner who's ready to settle down, because of, like, their mind has been set up to hook up with the people who want quick hookups instead of the people who are looking to settle down. People like me and you are going to look for those, for let's say, those good girls really early on who are very traditional, have the gender roles. That's what we're looking for very early on. And we find those very mature women early on. And especially for, let's say, men that are hooking up and just doing the casual flings, it's going to be very hard for them to find the good girls and the mature girls once they hit 30, you know?
Because your youth is basically gone at 30. I mean, you don't have that flair, like the youth flair. I mean, it's harder to find a relationship at 30 because you're basically out of that state of, like, good years. And it's better to find it early. I mean, when I'm looking for a woman, I look for three main qualities. Is she, first, is she God-loving? And second, is she respectable? Is she going to be a good partner for me for the rest of my life? And third, are we compatible in our beliefs? Are we going to have the same beliefs across the spectrum on, like, God first before our other things, or in terms of children, how are we going to raise our children up in the society, as such a fast society as America, how are we going to raise up our children? We have to have the same values, and I think that's more valuable than just going for the sex, because in the long run, you're not going to have sex whenever you're 50 years old or above. I mean, it's going to be less important as the values that you share with your partner in the long term. And I think that's very important to go through and think about before you tie the knot. And quick sex, it does have its repercussions, because you're giving yourself off to someone and you're not even thinking about it twice. I mean,
yeah, I mean, in my opinion, how I've always viewed it, as like, sex is like you're giving a piece of yourself to someone else, you know, so you're leaving an attachment with them forever, you know. That's how I've always kind of seen it. That's how I was taught to see it, and I do see it that way. If you're going to give it off like that to person after person, you're just giving yourself a little piece of each person and building, possibly, you know, it's like God's creation of like our closest attachment to anyone, you know. That's the closest we will ever be with anyone, and the most intimate. So
exactly. I mean, it's his gift to us, that we have the ability to procreate. We have the ability to make new lives in this world. We should share that with one person only. I mean, we should share that with the person that we think will truly share our beliefs, truly have that true connection with. And we shouldn't take that for granted to say, hey, this is something that I have, and it's my choice. It's like something that I can do, something that it was always my privilege to have, and I can do that with anybody. I don't think that's the way to go, because it's a true matter of who are you going to go with for the rest of your life, and who is going to bring you the fruit that you want in the upcoming years.
Yeah, and I definitely think I kind of was agreeing with you. How I view, like, if I was single, like I said again, what I was looking for, as I think I put it into thirds. I'm looking for one third personality, one third looks, and then one third like your views. And you can kind of put like your smartness or and stuff into like the personality, but it kind of splits it. And if you don't have all three, I'd say there's probably a red flag. You kind of need a mix of all three. Like, you're not gonna want a two-thirds pie, you want a full pie. So you need to find a girl or guy that gives you all three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And going on to the next question, like, what should dating be in our perspective? Like, we've touched on the topics that we like, but like, how does it change from here? I mean, we have this quick dating, and how can we move on from this?
I think we have to slow down, like, how we meet up with people. So, and what I put is that relationships and dating should return to its traditional values. Instead of having quick flings, we should focus on getting to know the person generally. Dating doesn't need to be complicated or expensive. It's about connection, and I think that's true. It's all about connection. Like, if you connect with them, like, let's say you go on a date, does it work out? You never talk to them. That's okay. You weren't meant for each other. Not everybody's meant to be together on the first date, you know? And you just go on until eventually that, you know, light bulb clicks and you both click. And you go on a couple more dates, and obviously, I'd say after a month or so, then if you've gone on like a month and a half of dates and you're still going on dates, I think you need to eventually hit a point where you're like, okay, I'm gonna make this official. I'm gonna make it, you know, a boyfriend girlfriend relationship kind of deal. If it's not, I think then there's some sort of flag that you're maybe seeing, because you're contemplating, you know, am I gonna make them make it official or not? So that's my opinion on it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you have at the beginning stages, I can see myself trying to figure out who's going to be like the best partner in my life, and I can see that if I were to go on dates, I'm not doing that currently, but I would want to find out within the first couple of months of knowing that person, hey, is this a person I want to spend my life with? Because it's, in my perspective, it's very, very important. Like, marriage and dating is very, very important, because this is like the new era. Like, this is a new point in your life where you can make or break it for the family that you're going to have in the future. If you don't find that person who you're going to start a family with, and you find like a second downgrade person that doesn't share your values, I'm not saying that person's downgrade, but just saying that you don't have to share the same beliefs, it's going to be a broken household in the future, and you're going to have a divorce down the line. If you find that good partner now, that's going to help. But if you don't, if you just go out and like looking for anybody in the world, and you find that person and you just go off of the beauty,
yeah, I think a lot of like, where you're going is a lot of people go into it just all looks, no mm-hmm. like brains, no what their views are. It's all about, oh well, she's really hot, I'm just gonna ask her out, and then you end up dating her and you didn't even take into the other considerations of like, oh, what's her personality, you know, is she smart, what are her views, what is her life perspective on, but you just feel like, oh, she's really hot. Mm-hmm. So
exactly, yeah. So there is a big insecurity here. Like, why? I think the reason why we are turning to these short-term dating sites like Tinder, social media, all these things, is because we have not taken into account what our own insecurities are. I mean, we think that we are not worthy of another being. Like, we can't find that true person that can be compatible with us, and that prevents us from actually going out and seeking another person and finding the right person. And that's why we turn to social media, that's why we turn to Tinder, and that's why we turn to all these things to get that instant gratification, saying that we found this person, and this is our substitute for that real relationship, and that fills our void that we don't have today. And I think that's the real problem, our own insecurities inside of us.
Yeah, what do you think is, there's a cause of lack of dating. There's about, let me find the statistic for you real quick. It's, sorry, give me a second. So there's about 47% of the U.S. population is single. And so why do you think there is like a lack of like dating?
I don't think it's valued as much today. I mean, you go into college, you go into this system, and you just think about, hey, I want to get this career, and I want to improve myself into getting the best job I can get so I can be financially stable and live the rest of my life with being rich. And I mean, that's not a bad thing. I mean, you have to do that. I mean, you have to support yourself. But if you look back, not even 20 years ago, it was valued. Marriage was valued. I asked my dad, and he said, yeah, it was very valued back then. But people wanted to get married when they went to college. They wanted to find that other being. I mean, it's still, I'd say it's still there today, just not as much as before.
Yeah, and I think, like, with college, I mean, I know a lot of people that go to college for this quote-unquote college experience, and basically it means they're just going to hook up with a bunch of people, party and drink, and I think that doesn't really help. You know, because when you're that young, we're 19, 20, we're actually, me and you, we're looking for, you know, the right girl. So when you're, all the girls are out partying, and I'm not saying it's all girls, I'm just from guys' perspectives, when all those girls go out partying and they're hooking up, then that really like limits your options. And like, you wish you could have more options, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But all those girls that go out to party, drink, sleep around, they're automatically disqualified, which is probably a good chunk. It limits your options more, and it's harder to find that sweet spot of like those that you're looking for, you know?
Yeah.
Like your standards, I guess.
Yeah. You know? Another reason I can think of that dating is not as popular today is that social media plays in the role. Like it makes it easier to go without a relationship for so long.
Social media, or we could go with like porn. I think that's a better word, is that like people find pleasure through online and they don't feel like looking for relationships. It's easier to look online for the stuff that you're looking for than to actually go out and find a person, you know, and just please yourself. Again, it's kind of an individualistic society we live in where it's all about me, and not, you know, finding someone, or for us, you know, finding God kind of deal, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that, I think that's the beauty of our faith. I mean, if you look at our values, you can truly see that it's not about the individual sense. It's about giving yourself to others, giving yourself to another person for the rest of your life. I mean, the Christian belief is selfless. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you're not going to go and the tenets of this belief is that you're not going to please yourself. You're going to abstain from pleasing yourself in order to make a better relationship with other people. And I think that's a valuable tenet, and that's why so many people that are Christian want to get married in the future. And of course I do too, and I want to find that right person, and I want to abstain from these worldly pleasures of sex, of porn, of all these instant gratifications, because I know there's something greater in the future. A person's there at the end of the tunnel waiting for me, and I know that
you're controlling your lust.
Yeah, that can happen in the future to find the right partner for me.
Yeah, and another part of like the lack of dating, I think, is like there is a growing divide between men and women in our political views, which you may think like, what does that have to do with dating? The less you like have the same views, I think it definitely is harder to find a qualifying partner. If you and your partner don't agree with the views of the world or what's going on in the United States, I think it's going to be hard to, you know, in the future to really have a like a close relationship or a relationship where you're not arguing all the time because you guys have such differing views, you know. And we see that women are trailing more liberal while men are actually trailing more conservative. And I don't really say that because I feel like the left is pushing men out of the left, and men, and the right is saying like young men come here, like they're taking in these young men. And I think that's why we're seeing such a divide of like men are going conservative, women are going left.
Okay. Yeah, we interviewed some people this week, and I just wanted to ask you, Alex, like what were some perspectives of other people on this issue, like why is dating so hard today?
I think a lot of it is what we've actually been talking about. I asked ton of people, and I just want to say before we get into it, thank you for everyone who I did interview. You guys gave great perspectives. I'm just super thankful for all of y'all. Could you repeat your question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, like what did those people say? Like why was dating so hard for them today?
Because like dating is hard in general, I think, because you're looking for a specific person with your own standards. For mostly those, you're looking for Christian people that I interviewed, you're looking for the person with the right standards, very kind, modest, you know, humbled, and you're looking for someone that hasn't been sleeping around, high school or not high school. You're looking for that Christian or follower of Christ, that you're looking for that perfect person, you know, in a sense. Your standards are, I wouldn't say they're all over the place, but you're sticking to your Christian standards, you know, and there's a lot of people who don't follow Christ, so you automatically have to like disqualify them if they're not a believer, right? And you're looking for people then who are Christian. Do they actually stick up to their word? You know, do they stay faithful to the word of Christ? You know,
I think that's valuable. I mean, those people, they found that it's harder to find a person today because we live in a homogenous society. We converse with a lot of people, and we're just trying to find that right person. And I think that's a valuable thing to take away.
Yeah, some people even said, like, you know, the use of, like, Snapchat, and I completely agree with this. Like, Snapchat kind of ruins it, where there's, like, this game on Snapchat where, like, you can't respond at a certain time. You got to wait. You know, don't want to look too desperate. Don't want to look like this. I would say, like, once you're out of high school, especially, you got to, like, stop with, like, asking girls or guys for their snaps and just stick to, like, their numbers or their Instagram. Like, there's no point in playing these stupid games. I know you don't have Snapchat, but there's like a whole game to Snapchat, and it's stupid. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, social media definitely plays a role today in dating, and it's very important to Like, look at that. I mean, social media, like, you had the statistics, so many, most, like, 40% of people
Yeah,
meet
or it's,
online.
I think it's 39, but I
39%.
met online. I mean, it was through a Instagram note, but Avery slid into my DMs and it just blossomed from there. So, but I'm not saying it's not a bad thing to do online. It's just Snapchat is kind of like the oddball out that it does. It really, it's weird. It just doesn't work. It just depends on how you do it. If you're gonna do it through Tinder, I think from my perspective, Tinder's always been a hookup culture. I'm not saying you can't find your person on Tinder. I just think it'd be harder. Maybe if you're non-Christian or maybe if you are Christian, you can, I'd say maybe find it. I'm not saying it's impossible. I just think it's harder to find it.
And social media, it's a way to meet people, but I don't think it's a way to screen people. I mean, you never know who's going to be on the other side. I mean, you got lucky. Avery's a good Christian, modest woman, right? She is very good for you because you found the one
Yeah,
that
well,
was good. But it's I think it's very hard to screen people and then actually meet them in real life. That's why it's hard for dating
it
today.
was all pure by accident. I don't want to say it was all through God because I'd put on my note, which is this part of like Instagram messages where you can like leave a little note and people can respond or just see it. And I put when I felt through, God came through. And she told me that she really needed to hear that today because she was having a hard day at work. And so I responded. I asked her to go to church with me. She said she lived an hour away. I was like, darn it, what am I gonna do? Like, I guess I'll just leave it at there. Like, I tried, I asked her to church. She said she lives an hour away. And at the time, I'd like kind of just got my license and I hated going through like downtown, because I wasn't very good at driving on the highway. So I was like, I'm just gonna leave it. And then she was like, hey, why don't I come to you and we meet up at a coffee shop? I was like, oh my gosh, I have a date. So we went on that date. It went out really well. I really liked her as a person and I thought she was cute. So, I just shot my shot. We just kept going on dates, and eventually I asked her out.
I mean, that's very, that's, I think that was God's plan. I mean, you found her and
Yeah.
it was just that one moment.
There was a part where she thought I was not interested in her, and that was because if I went to the hospital because I had some complications and I didn't respond for like I think a day or two, and I think she thought I lost interest, but I was just so out of it, with
Yeah, I
being in the
remember that.
hospital. So, but yeah, I think it's possible. I would say if someone asks you, like your perspective is a little different, but just go on one date, and if it doesn't work, you just say, hey, I don't think it worked, or you just don't respond. I know it's a little rude, but if you want to go that way, you can, and you just wait, because I think Lucci, maybe for you, maybe there's a girl that likes you, and she asks you for your Instagram, and she texts you, or you text her, and then you just see where it goes. And I think that's just kind of how the new modern way is to do it, is just ask them through their DMs.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a pick and choose. I mean, that's not wrong, but I just want
You're
to,
more the traditional, you're gonna go in person, you're gonna say, meet me at 5 at this coffee shop.
I mean, I want to meet them in person. I mean, I've gone through, I think one relationship before,
Yeah.
and it was, I think it was beautiful looking at the relationship from the perspective of meeting the person every day. I mean, I had a regular schedule with that person and met them at this certain time and just had a discussion at the coffee table. Hey, how was your day and what are you gonna do for the rest of the day or something like that. And then we went to on dates, so going out to a symphony and making things that we both enjoy. And I felt that was a eye opener, like saying, hey, I'm actually getting to know another person, like
Yeah.
on another level that I never knew before. And I thought that was a very beautiful thing. I mean,
Yeah, you took it slow, right? You just went on several dates
I
and
mean, for me, I'll go really slow.
Yeah.
I won't jump into a relationship because once I do, it'll be on full on the gas pedal. I mean, I will go full on, but I'm very cautious, very
That's
cautious
good. That's
on
good to be
who.
cautious, though.
It's a thing of mine. Like I'm not outgoing for girls, but once I do get on one, it's just like, man, I love you, man. I love you.
You jump right into that. I love you, don't you?
Yeah, I love you. So I'm still finding, but I just wanna
I think it's
find the
good
right
though
one.
that you did a little dating in high school. I did the same. Mine didn't work out. Nothing wrong with them. Just it wasn't God's plan. It did not work. But it's a good experience. You learn a lot from your previous relationships, and it's a big learning experience, right? And I think that's what you went through. And I think it's, and then once I got to, I had a final. Avery, funny enough, was a high school relationship and it's still going. And I learned a lot from my previous two relationships. And so I was able to take that and work into the relationship I have now. A third time's a charm. So I totally believe in that.
Yeah. I mean, my whole life I've been like hanging out with dudes and everything. And when I finally met one girl, it changed like your whole perspective. Like, girls work so differently, man.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting to see how a man and a woman come together to and unite as a family. I mean, that's the most beautiful relationship I could ever think of.
Is there anything for maybe any female viewers, like what are you looking for out there so we can like what is your like top five or give me like some points of like what are you exactly looking for in a woman?
Yeah, I mean, I gave three of them earlier. First, you have to love Jesus Christ,
Put God first.
put God first before anything. And then second is you have to have my same beliefs, like similar same beliefs. I mean, we have to agree
Agree.
upon on major issues. I won't discuss them here, but I will.
Or you can
I
go
mean,
watch some other
you can go
episodes.
watch some other episodes to see. And third, you're very authentic. You will tell me if I'm wrong. A lot of people don't tell me when I'm wrong. My mom does.
Can
I
I ask
mean,
you a question?
yeah. What's up?
What are like how much does attractiveness or personality play into your looking for someone?
That one's 4 and 5. I mean, 5 is attractiveness. I mean, I love a nice looking woman when I see one, but it's not going to be the first. The other thing is personality, you said. I mean,
Yeah,
yeah,
that's a big one.
she. I mean, we have to be compatible. I mean,
I mean, you want someone that's funny, smart, you know, got some
yeah.
kind nature to them, you know?
Makes me laugh a lot. I mean,
Yeah, someone that can be there
someone
for you when you
can,
have hard times, can
yeah.
really sit down with you know, kind of deal. Someone that you can express yourself with, you know?
Yeah. Someone who I want to sit on that rocking chair when I'm old and just have
Yeah.
a nice conversation, laugh, and
Someone you
be
can eat
with.
dinner with at night, just you and her, and just talk about your days, you know?
Yeah. I think that'd be nice. I mean, it's just a person who I can confide in, someone who I can tell my deepest dark secrets, and they won't affect either one of
Yeah,
us.
they won't view you any differently because they love you.
Yeah. I mean, love is at the center of all this. I mean, we should highlight that love is the meaning of a relationship, not love in the sense of sex, but love in the sense of you want to the best for the other person. You will give your life, give yourself for the other person. I think that's the beauty of a relationship, beauty of a marriage, and that should be the center of it.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about like putting, you know, your career before you have kids or even marriage?
I think that, I mean, it's hard today. I mean, it's definitely a career-based society in America. Very fast. I mean, you have to get on to your career, or else the rest of your life is not set. I mean, if you start a family when you're 18, and you're still going through a career, and you might not get the best promotions because you have to spend time on your kids, but it's not unseen before. But I'd say it's really hard to have kids whenever you're very young. But I think you shouldn't put your career before your kids. I think it's important to start a family early, but you still have to make decisions that are wise. Start a career, make sure that you can support those amount of kids.
Yeah, I mean, I got of a little bit of a different answer. You know, I said you need to be financially responsible before having kids. Once that child is born, it's not just about you anymore, you know. And even during like your pregnancy, you know, your wife is pregnant, she's raising that kid in her for those next 9 months. You need to be able to take care of her financially, you know, and be responsible, not be blowing your money on you know, video games or I don't know, a nice car, like you're buying a
Car.
car while she's pregnant. Like that's not a good idea. You should be saving money up for that kid, you know, maybe starting some funds so that way for that kid's college, I don't know. Just getting ready for that nursery, you know, setting everything up, you know, not blowing your money, you know, kind of deal. If you don't have enough money, I definitely think then again, you're not financially responsible enough. I think you need to have everything set up. I think it's better to be planned than not to be planned, you know.
Yeah, and I just want to highlight the biological perspective. Women, they can only have kids up until a certain age. Past 35 is an age where women start to have miscarriages, start to have babies that
At a
are
higher rate, yeah.
start to have babies that have mental, physical defects. So you only have this short amount of period of time. I mean, after 18, you can get married, and then you have a period of 15 years.
Yeah.
15 to 17 years that you can have a kid. So you got to get your life together within that time. You can't be sleeping around with other people. You can't be messing around with your life. You have to get down and find the person soon and have those kids, because you won't have that chance.
And like I said, I think it is harder when you're older and you're trying to find that mature person. Well, a lot of those mature people already found partners in their mid-20s, early 20s, and now they're having, you know, happy lives. And you're 30 years old, and now you're like, oh, I'm ready to slow down, mature. And then you can't find any of those people because they're already gone. Like, mm-hmm. There's very few of you left.
Very few, yeah.
So.
And going back to career before kids, I mean, it's important to have a career. I want to be a doctor, and I want to further that career along. But you have to stop and say, in my perspective, I have to stop and say that this is the age that I want to have kids. Mine is 26, because I feel that's a responsible age where I can support kids and continue my education. But you have to find that instance where you say, hey, this is where I want to have kids, and this is where I plan it out, and this is how I can support these kids with the funds I have, and this is how I'm going to continue my education to support my kids in the future. Because if you don't do that, you're going to delay it. I mean, all of us are procrastinators in some sense. We're going to delay this relationship, delay these kids. And then 32, you're like, oh, where did the time go? Yeah. I mean, my wife, if I do have, my wife is 32 already. Let's have kids now.
Or a lot of people, they could have already been divorced if they're, you know, and they already have a kid themselves, and then you're going to have another one. There's just so many, like, different complications that can happen.
Mm-hmm. And once you pass 35, good luck. I mean, my mom had me when she was 35, but that's a blessing.
Yeah.
Like, you're running thin on your time.
I mean, I think you can have them, but I definitely think it probably is harder on the body, as mm-hmm. especially as women get older, to have kids.
Yeah. I mean, that was something my mom wanted to highlight. She said that it was nothing, this was not told to her by her parents, that 35 was the age, because she tried to have kids after me, and they were unfortunately miscarried. So having kids early is important, in my perspective, because you are guaranteed to have kids. You won't regret it, because at the end of your life, what really matters? The people around you.
Yeah.
And if you have kids to share your life with, I mean, to me, that's the one thing that is fulfilling. Like, you kids left something, yeah. You left something on this world that can make a good impact, and it's out of you. It's your creation.
Yeah.
And I feel that's a very important thing. So bottom line, have kids at an early age, but make sure you can manage
them. Yeah, well. I mean, I think you're going on the right path. Like, you definitely want, I think there's a big difference between, like, Gen Z and millennials. Gen Z kind of want to start a family. I've seen, like, statistics that are saying that millennials are less wanting to start a family, less to have kids. And we just grew up at different times, and we have had different life experiences, of course. But I definitely think it is better to have a family, to start, have a wife, have some kids, because at the end of the day, you are going to be, if you don't have any of that and you're living on your own when you're like 60 or 70 years old, and you're going to be sad because there's nobody around there to help you when you're getting older, you're doing everything still by yourself, you've been doing it for the last 30 years, it just feels repetitive, there's no one besides maybe a couple friends you have, but you know, as you get older, we actually lose a lot of our friends. So I just think it's better to have that person, like you said, to sit in the rocking chair, to eat dinner with every night to the very end, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are scared about
the commitment.
Starting a family, like the commitment. I mean, it's a very challenging time. I mean, marriage itself is challenging, and having a kid is going to be the most challenging thing we have in our lives.
Talk about maturity. You have to really mature when you're having a kid.
And I understand that, and I understand that, actually, because it's going to become a factor in my life for sure. But it shouldn't, I mean, these challenges, you're going to experience them, and it's going to make you a tougher person in the end. And I mean, so many other people have gone through this as well. So there's people to go along this with you, and you can talk to other people that have gone through having a child. I've talked to my parents about this. They said it was not easy. They were immigrants here, and managing their immigration process, managing me, and managing their future careers, that was very tough for them. But they managed it through. They found the way to instill values in me and make sure that I had the proper care, proper daycare, and all these things, food, water. They made sure I had it, and they found a way. So it shouldn't deter you to start a family. You're gonna find a way in the end. You're just starting it is the most difficult decision, I think, is to start it. Once you start it, you'll find a way to support your family. God will support you whenever you are in your first steps of supporting your
Yeah,
family.
definitely, because there's no going back. Once you have that kid, there is no going. You're going to have to raise it, be the responsible parent, do the best you can. I know raising kids is not easy. Nobody said it was ever easy. You know, there's a lot that goes into it, a lot of life learning in those times of like when it's a baby, then it goes to toddler, then it goes to, you know, young kid, then teen, then, you know, then almost adult. And you have to raise it and make hope that you raise it right and that it learns, you know, how to become a fully functioning adult by in 18 years, you know, and there's a lot of life learning for that kid and for you as a person. And I bet that's like, as you go on, that's can be probably stressful. And you just hope that your kid grows up to be successful and just well off.
I mean, do you want to be a parent?
Yeah, I want to be a
Yeah.
parent. I mean, this was a bonus question on there, but I plan to hopefully have like maybe 2 to 3 kids and possibly adopt. I think adoption is important. Personally, I would love to just like adopt a kid.
Okay,
It's on one of
cool.
my goals to maybe get done. If I have 2 kids, then maybe I'll adopt a third. Maybe if I get 3, maybe I can convince Avery to adopt one. So I know that gets expensive. Adopting is expensive. I would love for the adoption to be a little bit cheaper. I think that would definitely like be a little more convincing if it was cheaper, but adoption, if you look into it, is quite expensive and the process is quite long.
Yeah, I aspire. I like that idea of adoption. I mean, that I think that's one thing that you could do good for one person in this world. You could adopt and make that life into a productive member of
Of
society.
society, yeah, definitely making that child's life easier. As we know, I forget what the adoption center is called, but let's say that kid living in the adoption center, I don't know,
Orphan.
the orphanage, yeah, if getting them out of the orphanage, getting them to a family, getting them to have a father and a motherly figure in their life definitely will can fix and probably help a lot in their lives.
I think the idea of being a mentor, the idea of being the coach, the person that someone looks up to, is very promising, very beautiful, very something that I want to be in the future. I mean, that's the essence of a parent. And when I have that kid, I'm going to teach him to be someone who becomes one member that is respectful to elders, respectful to God, respectful to all other people. And just like that idea of teaching one person and seeing them grow over the years, seeing them grow into a fully functioning adult is just one of the things that I could dream of. I mean, that's a very, very, very big dream of mine to become a parent one day.
Yeah, and definitely for me, like the way that this would work for me is like obviously I want to get my career done. That's po hopefully done by like the 2027 time. Then after I have my career and I have a job, a well-paying job, then I would like to get married. Then after a couple of years, I'll have a child and then have another child and just keep going. My neighbors, I have a young couple across the street. They're kind of like an inspiring, you know, to me in a way. Like they moved in, they had a child and it's growing, and just I even saw him today, like just seeing that kid walk around. He's only a couple months old, just walking. I was like, man, like I cannot wait to get to this stage at one point in my life. I don't want to rush it. I'm enjoying my time in college and everything, but I will say I'm definitely will be happy when I get to the stage that they're at in their lives right now.
Yeah, for sure. I would say I was at a point where I said I want 7 children.
Be very
But
expensive,
yeah,
Luigi, in this
that's very
economy.
expensive. But I think the most reasonable number for me, the max, is four.
Max
Four.
four.
Max four. I mean, two guys for me, two ladies for my wife, so that we can manage them both and teach them the true values of being a man and a woman.
Yeah.
I think this is a important thing to discuss. I mean, having kids is the essence of a family, and the thing with families today is that there's a high divorce rate, and that's separating a lot of relationships. I mean, we can talk about getting together in the first place, but sticking together is also a very important issue. So I think the divorce rate was about 41% this dec this past year, and it's very sad to see 41% of marriages in the US separated, and the kids that are in between that marriage, they're fluctuating in emotions. It's the worst thing possible because the two figures that they looked up to are separated. It's a sad trend in US, and I just wanted to open this discussion, like, why may this be happening? Why do we have such a high divorce rate, and how can we fix this? First, like, why?
Why? I think because people are finding that, like, I think it's again finding a good partner. I think a lot of people do not find always the best partner. They end up finding that this person is abusive, or that they're just not mature, or they make really bad decisions, or maybe they become, just life can happen. I think, let's say I'm giving a bland experience. Let's say they start out normally, but eventually the mother or father becomes like an extreme alcoholic or drug addicted, and they divorce. I mean, I'm just throwing out, I think divorce can happen for a multitude of reasons. It's not always, sometimes it's cheating, sometimes it's, I don't know, just maturity, bad money spending, and it causes frustration in the family. And I think there's a ton of reasons, but
Do you think Americans are too quick to divorce than rather solving their issues?
well, again, like, as Christians, we have a different, like, we try to stick together, but there are people who, do not have the same values as us, so they just divorce because they don't have the like, they don't have the same values as us to try to fix it as fast,
Yeah, I think I agree on you on the point that Christians try to stick it together because marriage is held as sacred in our belief. I mean, this is the one thing that is held as a sacrament, actually. In my faith, we come together. That's the point of joining. That's who God created us to be and our soulmates. I mean, but
And
in.
I'm not saying like divorce is like unwarranted. I think there's times, if your marriage gets to a point where like neither of you are very happy and you've been trying to fix it over and over, I'd rather you get out of that relationship than to be depressed for the rest of your life, or that person like really brings you down for year after year, or just isn't being a good, let's say you have kids, they're not treating your kids right, they become abusive. I think like obviously there's warrants, there's evidence, there's parts where it's like, okay, yeah, that's warranted,
Yeah. And talking about like values of other people, I'm sure that those people at one point loved the other person. It's just they don't see the value in sticking together. I mean, there's a lot of people who don't have that abusive relationship, but just say this is not for me. I mean, this is not working out for me, and that's the reason why we're going to separate. And when you have a fight, I mean, I can see that you don't agree on an issue, but taking that to in perspective, you have to think about your kids in a sense. Like when you get a divorce, your kids are going to suffer the big part of it. Are you going to divorce and take that with your kids, or are you going to stick together and live it for your kids? I mean, you can see it that way, but at
I'd
the
say it's
center of the
all,
relationship, it's about love as well.
I think it's all like a case by case basis of like, is it warranted, is it not, type of deal.
Yeah, but it's definitely a big percentage of
It's
the,
41, but it's
yeah.
actually going down as I've been reading from previous years, and it's lower than even pre-pandemic levels, so.
Yeah, I think it's still a problem that needs to be addressed in the couple of coming ages. I mean, I'd like to see that come down even more. I mean,
I think it will. I mean, as we're looking at it now, I think over time, as people start to really look for that perfect, match, I think it's gonna become less and less. I think so. But I mean, I'm optimistic, in my opinion. I would hope and would like to see it go down, and I think it will, so.
Yeah. And like whenever you stick together, I think that's, I mean, it's, yeah, I think it's a case by case basis. I mean,
I mean,
I
you
agree
never
on
know
you
what
there.
someone's
Yeah.
going through,
Yeah.
or what situation, or so. I mean, until you hear both sides of the story, and again, it's also sort of none of our business in a sense of like, if what we don't know what really has been going on behind the scenes, because we don't, in a marriage especially, you don't tell everybody your dirty laundry, of what's going on, so.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Yeah. So, I mean, divorce is a hard thing. I mean, people on both sides, they have their reasons, and you can see that it's a hard thing for the it's divorce is a it's a very hard thing. It's a hard decision, and
I would definitely recommend like couples counseling, different things, see if we can fix anything, if we can't get anything going, what are the issues, talk it out as best we can. And I'm sure, I know people do that. People are going to be in the comments like, oh, people, we know what couples counseling. Yes, but try everything. And if it's really, or if there's some really, really bad stuff going on, of course, get the divorce type of deal.
So when we have this divorce and we have this getting to be married, in the future, like when you think about like this concept of relationships, will you regret not being married if you haven't been married, or will you regret not having that relationship that you ever had?
I definitely would regret like not getting married or not having kids because, like I said, the whole reason I wanted to get in a relationship, even with like Avery, is I was already feeling lonely. Like I don't want to go through life alone. So I want to be able to experience. I want to be able to learn with someone and not take all the mistakes by myself. In that sense, like I want to be able to learn, live, grow with someone, not all by myself. I don't want to have this individualistic side of me. I want to be able to learn. To be kind, to just be the best person I can with someone else and grow and build a family. And I think, and definitely, like, as you get older, you become more lonely, people pass away, you lose friends. Again, I'm kind of repeating myself, but yeah, I'd want to have a family. I would definitely regret if I didn't start a family or have a significant other.
Exactly. I mean, I see myself in the future starting like a small community. I mean, there's such big families that I see that my friends have, and it's such a fun thing to have a big get together at someone's like feast, like for major holidays, having all the brothers and cousins that we all have. So my mom's side has about 50 cousins to in total, and we have this big get together sometimes, and it's just fun to have everyone around. I mean, having a family is the basic thing that I enjoy. It's the people I can confide in, and I think that will be something I enjoy in the future. I definitely regret it if I didn't have one, and I mean that's basically why you should start a family. You'll have people around you. I said this in the last episode that when you're on your deathbed, are you going to be thinking about what you could have done for this world? Are you going to be thinking about what happened to your life? Are you going to be thinking about who wronged you, or who happened to be in your way throughout your life? I think from my perspective is that you're going to be thinking about who's around you, who shared the most time with you, who you could actually confide in. And I think that's very important, and that's the only place you can do it is the family. And that's the center of your life. So, that's my case for making a family.
Yeah. Ooh, that was good. That was
that was good. Yeah. I mean,
good conversation here. I
good
mean, I've
conversation.
been doing all the research on this topic. I've been doing, like I said, all those interviews and just been so ready for this. Like, as I've been getting better at this podcasting, becoming more prepared, getting all the work done and ready has really helped, I think, make these episodes better.
Yeah. And I think we should wrap up with our predictions for the future. So, what do you think marriage will be like in the next 5 decades? Like, how will it change, or what will stay constant? What do you think?
Ooh, that's a hard one because I want to say personally that it'll stay mainly the same, in that men and women will still be getting together. I mean, this is a really hard question. You really put me on the spot. I'll keep it short. I think it'll stay the same. I don't really think much will change. I'm hoping, again, divorce rates lower, and I think everyone should hope for that. But yeah, that's my quick answer. What do you think?
I think you'll get more digitalized. I mean, a lot of people will meet, like more percentage of people will meet their partners in the f online. Of course, that's a trend. I just think if more people like us start talking about this, relationships and dating, and more people value it, I think people will start to think about who their partner is in the future. And I think we'll see a decline in the amount of people using Tinder, using all these quick social media apps, but we see an uprise of people using these apps for long-term relationships instead of the quick short-term ones. And we'll see a decrease in porn addiction, and because there's going to be more people talking about this issue. I mean, men, I think this is an attack against men today. I mean, when we look at the biological perspective, men are so hard and wired to look at the woman that's most beautiful and be hardwired to be in favor of having sex. When you monetize that and give that to people for free, you're going to get a lot of people that are addicted to it because it's playing free to pleasure. The biology of us. And that's why porn addiction is so it's so rewarding for men. And I think if we start talking about this and start getting this more out there, more people start talking about this issue of porn addiction, about getting the right relationship, I think this will be a decreasing trend on seeing how many people use this spiritually damaging source of media. And we'll see more people getting into an area where they focus on long-term relationships.
Yeah, completely agree.
But turning from that sad note on porn addiction, we should tell you and keep you posted on what we have for the future coming episodes. So this right here is filmed a little bit before Thanksgiving break, and we have some very cool topics coming up. Alex, you want to share?
So we just came up with actually a new one. It was like men's mental health. That one might probably be a little bit farther down the line, but we're actually going to be doing an AI episode, probably one on the food quality in the United States, as there's like a big change in, like, you know, what's in your food, you know, the stuff that's been going on, you know, with the E. coli, explaining all that, and just like mainly like how unhealthy our American diet really is compared to the rest of the world, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited for the mental health one and the food. I think that's very important to highlight into America, especially. Food is very, very potent. It you can use it to your advantage, or you could screw up your whole life. I mean, I've been in the surgery room, and I've seen so many patients, they screwed up their lives because they didn't make the right choices, and now they have a bad pancreas, they have a bad liver because they made bad choices in their food choices. And it's basically up to you. It's basically up to you and the knowledge you have on the choices you have in this food society. I mean, we have food at our fingertips, basically.
Yeah, you can just send it right to your house.
Yeah, and we need to discuss that one because it's getting into our children now. The obesity rates are climbing in children, and I think that's scary. I don't know what's your perspective on that, but when you have an obese child, what are those children eating? I mean, how can you... children have the highest metabolisms, but they're getting obese.
Yeah.
And I just find that super shocking. I'm like, what are they putting on our food today?
Yeah.
We'll be discussing that on that episode.
Yeah, definitely save all of that for that episode. We don't want to get into a two-hour-long rant about that. I could right now, but we're going to save that because we've really cut this episode. This will be one of our longest episodes, probably, I think, the second longest episode. And we're sorry for everyone that knows that keeps that to that 30-minute range. But this was just a huge topic, and we hope that y'all could make it all the way to the end. Make sure to follow us on TikTok. Our TikTok's growing. Our Instagram is growing. Our YouTube channel, if you really want to see us in the flesh, you know, talking right now, you should check us up on YouTube. We're on all platforms, X, even Facebook. Just make sure to check us out. Leave a comment. Maybe share it with somebody that really likes this kind of content. We thank you all for listening. This is Sights On.
Signing off.